Good morning, everyone. Let's hear those horns honking. Whether it be from the snuggy confines of your home or here in person, we gather in one heart and mind to worship the one true God of all creation. We gather to seek the peace and comfort of his presence in our lives. We gather to encourage one another in this journey of life. We gather in this time of restriction and conflict, fear and anxiety, to claim the freedom and the joy that is found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. In that relationship, we find freedom, forgiveness, and unconditional love. Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. God is our chain breaker."
1, 2, 3.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. There's a better life. Shaking savior, if you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
Today, our theme is on forgiveness. And by the way, please remember that you can text your prayer requests and your praises to 540-495-0501. 495-0501. Folks here and folks at home, please do that. Today, as I said, our focus is on forgiveness. The forgiveness that we receive from God and the forgiveness that we must extend to one another. Listen to these verses from the Word of God. From Psalm 103, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And one of my very favorite verses from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. I mean, can you imagine that? Let us reason together. God wanting to convince us that his forgiveness is real, that his love is unending. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, on this crisp and magnificent morning, creation once again proclaims your glory and reminds us that you are indeed here. We praise you. We worship you. Focus our minds, open our ears, calm our hearts. Lead us and speak to us. We come before you in confidence and blessed assurance because of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our living hope. It is in his name we pray. Amen.
I'm not afraid to
awesome words. We now will have Pastor Susan come for our children's moments.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. You brave folks. All right. Okay. Well, our scripture this morning, is talking about forgiveness and mercy, two important things. And I was thinking about that. A couple things occurred to me. You know, when we, sometimes things happen and, you know, you get ready to write something and maybe you leave out a letter and you say, oh, well, that's not good. I need to do some things and I need to put some other things in there. And, or, you know, you go to write something and you're slanting up or you're slanting down, or you put some letters over each other and all of a sudden you've got a mess. And so, you know, you can erase. And it's kind of like that. Sometimes somebody hurts you and they'll ask for your forgiveness or they'll say they're sorry. And, you know, we can try to clean it up, erase it, just like I erase these pencil marks. But it's still, if you could see this up close, you could see there's little, you know, those little eraser things are there and the lines aren't quite gone. It's good to ask for forgiveness. It's good to say we're sorry. But I'm also reminded that when we do that, we try our best, we do our best, and maybe we erase some of the hurt. But when we do something wrong and God forgives us, it's like God can erase all that perfectly. No little eraser scritchy things, no little marks. It just goes away. It's like it's perfect. And so I remember, it's important for us to say we're sorry. We're important for us to seek forgiveness from one another. But I also am reminded that God's forgiveness, it's perfect. It really does wipe it away and take it away. So we do our best, but we understand that God does it perfectly, does it the best way possible. So let us pray. Let's take a moment to pray. Dear God, I am so thankful that you can erase my mistakes perfectly in ways I just can't do. So Lord, when I mess up, help me to seek forgiveness from you and from those that I've hurt. Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 18. 21 through 35. And it starts out with the Lord and Jesus being with his disciples. And then we hear about activity with the king and his lords. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church would sin against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, Peter, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When the king began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, as he could not pay. This slave's lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children, and all of his possessions, and payment still to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. and seized him by the throat and said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience for me, and I will pay you." But the slave refused. Then the Lord went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to the Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, in case you're wondering, Dale pointed out to me why I'm not wearing the mask anymore, that nobody wanted to get out of their car for some reason this morning and sit outside. So since everybody's in their car, I can go mask-free. That's kind of exciting. So let us pray. Gracious God, we have heard your word. We've heard Peter's question about forgiveness. We have heard this parable from Jesus about mercy. Lord, help us to consider forgiveness and mercy. Help them to grow in our hearts. Help us to hear what it is you are calling us to do today. Amen. Well, there were three sisters, and they were reaching an advanced age. One was 89, one was 92, and one was 95, and they all lived together in one house. And one night, the 95-year-old sister decided she wanted to take a bath. So she went upstairs and she drew a bath for herself. And as she stuck her foot in the water, she paused and she yells to her sisters downstairs, "Was I getting in the bath or out of the bath?" And the 92-year-old shouts back loudly, "I don't know, let me come up there and see." So she begins walking up the stairs, but then halfway up she pauses and she yells to her sisters, "Was I going up the stairs or down the stairs?" And the 89-year-old, who is sitting in the living room enjoying a cup of tea, listens to her sisters, shakes her head, and mutters to herself, "I sure hope I never get that forgetful. Knock on wood." She then turns and shouts to them, "I'll come up there and help both of you as soon as I see who's knocking at the door." Well, sometimes things don't turn out the way we expect they will. Sometimes you do all the right things, but circumstances intervene and things don't turn out quite the way you want them to. A couple of people have asked me how annual conference went yesterday, our first virtual conference, and the truth is, it did not go. We started, we had several rehearsals leading up to this. We invited people to join the rehearsal who were members of conference, and you know, it started out okay. We were on Zoom. And one of the first things that happened was that they invited Raymond Wren to do the opening prayer. And Raymond has been doing it for a long time. Raymond is 102 years old. And so he was on video. He gave an awesome, amazing prayer. And then it was downhill from there. Conference, if you've never seen annual conference, there's a lot of voting. A lot of voting. And so we had hired a company to help us do the electronic voting, and the servers went down. I mean, they were down, down. It was not like turn it on and turn it back, turn it off, turn it on, and let it come back. It wouldn't do that. It was, as my grandmother would say, it was kaput.
It was zip, nada, nilch. It was not doing anything. And so even though we tried, you know, we had rehearsed a couple of times, even though everything had worked great in rehearsal, just yesterday things did not happen and we had to cancel the whole thing and we'll reschedule and try again. You do everything right sometimes and circumstances intervene. Technology, when it works, it's great. When it doesn't work, it is terrible. It is terrible. And as I was thinking about that, thinking about the scripture, I was reading, I'm not a big Twitter follower, but someone had pointed out to me a Twitter feed from a doctor. And so it really kind of touched me right where I lived. And this doctor is named Dr. Tabatabai. And Dr. Tabatabai describes an appointment he had, an electronic video appointment he had with one of his patients, someone who had actually been his patient for a long time, someone he enjoyed meeting with. And so they were doing their visit by Zoom that day. And so when the visit began, Dr. Tabatabai noticed that his patient's camera on his computer was kind of at a weird angle. It was sort of off-center, and so he couldn't really see the man's face. And so he asked him if he could adjust it, and the man said no, he was having technical issues, and he couldn't adjust it. And so the doctor said, well, you know, I can adapt. But he noticed that something just felt off. You know, this person who was usually chatty and cracking jokes seemed like, I don't know, like he was just very subdued. And so Dr. Tabatabai said, you know, but silence can be healing. So he just waited with his patient in the silence. And after he asked how his patient was doing, he just let the silence grow between them. He says that's often where the healing happens. And then the man asked him a question that the doctor did not expect him to ask. He said, Doc, which kills you faster, blood pressure you don't control or blood sugar you don't control? And the doctor was surprised. I guess it showed on his face. And the man said, well, I can't afford all of these medications anymore. And he said, the way I see it, Doc, I only need to stick around 4 or 5 more years. That's how long my pet dog has left. Then I ain't got no more family, and it's me all on my own, so I figure maybe take the diabetes ones and skip the blood pressure or take them every other day. And so the doctor begins reviewing his medication, and they start discussing options, and he adds another remark. The patient says, and I'm really sorry, Doc. I know we go back a ways, but I can't afford my copay. I'll pay you later. I promise. And it was at that instant that the doctor knew why the man's camera was at an odd angle. He realized that he didn't want to look him in the eye. And he said, this patient did everything right. You know, he worked, he got insurance, he paid his taxes, and now he's still trying to figure out how to make himself last 4 or 5 more years. And that's all he wants. And he can't bring himself to look in his doctor's eyes. This doctor became a doctor to heal people. And the system that he's in doesn't seem to afford people their basic human dignity. He sees that this man is old enough to be his father, and so he imagines that this man could be his father. His father could be in this situation, and he's afraid he's going to start tearing up. But then he gets angry, and so now the doctor asks him, can I write about what you just said to him? He said, can I write about you because people need to know? And this is what the man said. Sure you can, Doc, but people already know. Lots of people deal with this. It ain't that people don't know. It's just that nobody cares. Nobody gives enough of a darn to change anything. Nobody cares. Is that true? The system seems unjust from this man's point of view. And I know there are people like that in the world. I push it out of my mind, though. And I know that you can do everything right, but then get waylaid by misfortune or an untimely illness or loss of a job. I mean, loss of a job, there's a lot of that going around. Or just happening to work in the wrong industry at the wrong time, or having a child with special needs and a complicated medical history. All of these things can make things go terribly wrong in a system we didn't create, but which we might be complicit in, our American health system. It's hard to know exactly what's right, but I hear this man's story, and it's heartbreaking to figure out what 4 or 5 more years would mean. But the thing about Scripture, the thing that I love about reading Scripture, is that every time I come back to it, I see something different. And it's probably not because the Scripture changes. The Scripture doesn't change. The world changes. I change. Everything else changes. Or maybe it's the Holy Spirit, God's restless Holy Spirit in the world, that shows us something different in the text. When I've read this text before, I've thought it's been mainly about forgiveness. And it is about forgiveness. Peter starts with that question, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? Tell me, Lord, 7 times? Is 7 times enough to forgive someone? And Jesus said, try 7 times 7. Well, but where the Scripture ends up is with mercy. Here are these two debtors. One asks for mercy, and he receives it. And the other asks for mercy and doesn't receive it. Now, according to the dictionary, the difference between forgiveness and mercy is that forgiveness involves the overcoming of anger and resentment. But mercy involves the withholding of harsh treatment. A little different. So we hear that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who is settling accounts. Now, he has a servant who owes him an astronomical amount of money. 10,000 talents is what it says in Scripture. That combines the largest monetary unit of the time, the talent. 1 talent of silver was the equivalent of an ordinary laborer's income for 15 years. And then the highest possible number in the Greek language, myrias, where we get our word myriad. In fact, this 10,000 talents is greater than the annual tax income of Herod the Great. Herod the Great's tax income was about 900 talents a year. And now we're talking about over 10 times that. So people are inclined to think that this man, not just a slave, like it says in our NRSV Scripture translation, but that he is perhaps an official in the king's court, that he's responsible for collecting taxes over a very large area. And so this debt that he has amassed, for whatever reason, we don't know whether it was a bad year and he couldn't collect the taxes or he lost them or something, there's no way that he can gather up this much money. The only thing the king can do is either forgive him or imprison him, either show him mercy or show him no mercy, cast him in jail or let him go. And so he pleads. This man pleads for mercy. He has this debt. He knows he can't pay. And so he asks for mercy and he receives it. But when he meets someone else who owes him a much, much smaller sum, not insignificant, but much, much smaller, he shows no mercy and throws the other man into prison. And his fellow servants report him to the king, who takes back his forgiveness, cancels his mercy, and sends him to be tortured. you and I would never act like the merciless servant. Having received mercy, we would, of course, extend it to others. We can't right all the wrongs of the world, but certainly we can be merciful in every way that comes to us. And in fact, we find as we pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday that we are forgiven as we forgive. We receive mercy as we are merciful. But too often, I think we confuse showing mercy as being weak or ineffectual. We are sometimes afraid to be merciful because we don't look strong when we exhibit mercy. Think about all of those political candidates who are talking about they're tough on crime, right? You got to be tough on crime. Well, there's a book I would recommend to you, and it was just recently made into a movie. It's called Just Mercy. And one of the things that Brian Stevenson, who's the author of the book, talks about is that the Supreme Court banned sentences of life without parole in non-homicidal juvenile cases. So in other words, if someone under the age of 18 committed a crime, was not a homicide, it was considered cruel and unusual punishment to send that child to jail without for life, send them to jail for life without parole. And so this attorney, Brian Stevenson, is a lawyer. He is describes the case of a man named Robert Caston. And Robert Caston was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole when he was 17 years old. And that was in 1965. And because this happened in Louisiana, he was incarcerated in Angola Prison, which is housed in a former slave plantation in Louisiana. And it could still be true today. I know that at that time, prisoners in Angola were forced to do hard labor, picking cotton, hoeing cotton, using hand tools, and other kinds of dangerous work around the prison. And a former warden of the prison, Burl Kane, suggested once that prisoners don't really require health care at Angola either. So when Mr. Caston developed glaucoma while he was incarcerated at Angola, he didn't receive any medical treatment, and he lost his eyesight. But despite this, he maintained an impeccable conduct record in prison. He was a Class A trustee for the last 25 years he was in jail. He obtained his GED. He completed classes in anger management, HIV/AIDS education, refereeing and umpiring, and sports statistics. And so when Brian Stevenson asked for his case to be retried, well, not his case to be retried, but so that his sentence could be heard again, so that he could lose that sentence of life without parole. Even the prosecutors assigned to his case said that he was impressed with this man's rehabilitation, and on top of that, being blind, he was not much of a danger to the community. So when his case came up after the Supreme Court had this ruling saying it was cruel and unusual punishment to give juveniles life in prison without parole, Brian Stevenson was arguing before a judge in the Orleans Parish. And Caston had served 45 years by then. He was in his 60s. And so he goes into the court, and this court is crowded, and there's lots of people, and their lawyers are in there. But for the first time that he had ever experienced, as the judge began to read out the details of Mr. Caston's case, the noisy crowd falls silent. And the judge declares that the now blind 62-year-old prisoner will be released that evening. And the people gathered there break into applause. But the important part about this story is that Brian Stevenson says that as he was walking out of the courtroom, he saw a woman who had been in there in the courtroom with him, and she was sitting on the steps just outside of the courtroom, and she told Brian, she said, "You're that lawyer, aren't you? That lawyer who got that man free, who'd been in jail, been in prison so long." And he said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Come over here and let me give you a hug." And so he goes over, gives her a hug, said, "Sweet woman, never seen her before." He said, "Were you," he said, "I've seen you here at court a number of times. Are you related to Mr. Caston?" And she said, "Oh, no. I just come here in case people need me." She said, "I think that you are a stone catcher." And he kind of laughed, made him think of the scripture in the Bible. And he said, what's a stone catcher?" She said, "You know, like that woman who they brought to Jesus who was caught in adultery. And Jesus said, let the first one without sin cast the first stone." She said, "Somebody's got to be here sometimes to catch those stones. And that's hard work." And then she told him her story. She said, "Years ago, my grandson, whom I loved more than anything, was murdered. He was killed by some other boys when he was just a teenager. She said, I came to this courthouse every day of that trial for 2 weeks, and every day I came in here and I cried. And when those boys were sentenced, I thought I'd feel relief, but I didn't. I cried. I sat here and I cried, and a lady I didn't know came up to me and she held my hand, and we must have sat for 2 hours. And for at least 40 minutes of that time, we didn't even talk. But it felt so good to have someone to lean on. And I went home, and after about a year, I decided I needed to come back to the courthouse because other people needed someone to lean on." For her, it didn't matter whether you were the family of the accused or the family of the victim. She just thought everybody needed a stone catcher sometimes. We all make mistakes. Sometimes we make big ones, sometimes we make little ones, but sometimes we do need a stone catcher in our life, and sometimes we need to be the stone catcher, and sometimes we need the stones caught. When we have mercy for each other, we are living into the life that God seeks for us, into the life that God seeks for all creation. When we catch stones, we are living into the life that God wants for us. Even if we question why we might need to catch that stone, God calls us to be merciful. Amen. Well, it is good to be with you on this crisp, beautiful, beautiful day. I'm thinking about all the people who give of their time, who've taken time to be here this morning, who got up out of their beds when it was nippy out, and you're probably like me, you didn't have your heat on. I'm glad you're here. I am so glad you're here. And I think about our folks, our children's ministry people who put together the children's packets. I am thankful for them, and thankful for all who give to the church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty of creation. What do we have that has not come from some aspect of your creation? And so we are thankful and we are grateful to you. Lord, fill our hearts with gratitude and help us to share it abroad in all that we do. Amen. Well, I do have a couple of announcements. Want to let you know that on Friday, September 25th, we're going to have a meet and greet here at the church from 6 to 7. It'll be out in the parking lot, and we'll have to wear masks, but it'll just be a time for people to, you know, have a chance to talk, social distance, but to talk, meet, greet, do the things we haven't really been able to do very much of. So invite you to that on Friday the 25th, 6 to 7. Also, thank you everyone who donated for the health kits. We delivered those to Grotto's United Methodist Church, and they will get to where they need to go. Also, this is very exciting to me. At our October 4th service, we are going to have communion. It'll be different than what we're used to. It'll be prepackaged. And I invite people at home who are watching on Facebook Live or watching the video to, you know, prepare your own bread and juice. And it might not be exactly like communion, but, you know, we want you to feel like you're a part of it, even if you're doing this from home or in your home. I know one prayer request that I got was for us to be in prayer for the family of Brendan Fletcher. So please, please be in prayer for Brandon. And we want to also pray for the coronavirus cases that have been in the local schools. Pray for students and teachers, and just that they will be well. I know we need to pray for our JMU staff and students as well. I believe they're being sent home, and hope they will be back at some point in time. But let us go to God in prayer. Lord, we don't always understand why things happen the way they do. And we come to you lifting up questions, lifting up concerns, lifting up joys. We can't forget that joy is out there and in there too. But Lord, we come to you with thankfulness and gratitude, but also sometimes with questions. Lord, we pray this morning for those who have been infected with the coronavirus and ask that you bring healing to them. We pray for our teachers and our students in the schools that they might stay well. Help us to do all that we can with wisdom to keep people safe and healthy. Lord, we pray for those who have been affected by the wildfires out west. We pray for those who've been affected by the hurricane down south. And we pray that you will help us to do all that we can for those who are affected. Gracious God, in this time of that often seems divisive, Lord, help us to find our commonality, that divine spark in each of us, so that we know we are brothers and sisters. Lord, unite us in love. Unite us in love and help us to reach out to one another. All this I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, just as you forgive. And forgive us our trespasses as you forgive Oh, my goodness. I'm having a terrible senior moment. Lord, forgive us our trespasses and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And thank you, Jackie.
No problem.
Whew, 20 years of doing that, and yeah.
I understand.
I keep all of you in my prayers.
I had to do the Pledge of Allegiance with a class the other day on Zoom, and I got real scared I was going to forget the Pledge of Allegiance regardless of the, you know, thousands of times I've said it. So I had to have it right there in front of me. Thank goodness. There are other people that understand that. We understand, Susan. That's for sure. That happens. Okay. There is a beautiful hymn, Freely, Freely. Let me get that off. Let us join together in singing Freely, Freely.
Go forth on this beautiful, beautiful day and share the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen.